Let's talk.
Right then, all things being equal, it is the time of the show where we go to the International Man of Misery.
You're looking, you're looking fine and well. You've got a touch, I think, of the Julius Caesars there. Your silver fox hair, looking, you know, swept back. You could do that.
And interesting. Most likely to be doing that.
Yeah, thumbs down. Those who are about to broadcast salute you. How the devil are you, sir?
I'm all right. Are we on air yet?
Yeah, we're on air now. We're live. So please keep any profanities down to a minimum. Yes. So
you can, okay.
Yeah, because last time we did... after you. So I'm just happy to be here.
I'm just after pressing lots of buttons. I didn't know whether we were live or not.
Yeah, well...
Messages...
Yeah, well, one day this will all be done by monkeys, you know, with typewriters. And I can hardly wait for AI to do the job for you.
Well, like Wimbledon.
What, playing tennis? Monkeys playing tennis or monkeys forgetting to turn the AI on?
No, but it's Wimbledon's now. It's one of my grumps this week. It's Wimbledon.
Right. What, you don't like tennis in general, or what is the particular?
I know. I absolutely love it. But the whole, I sort of looked in the other, like when I first tuned in, that there was no Lions people. There was no Lions men and women. They've all gone.
Yeah. Because
there was 300 of them employed. Right.
Yeah.
To look after do the call for outs and.
Yeah,
but now it's all done by electronics. So there's no one of the players disagreed, they could ask for a replay and they could see it. But now it's automatic. So every ball, every time the machine, and it is a machine, calls out, it comes up on the screen for everybody to see whether it was out or in. So there's no questioning the referees or the Lions group. So they've all gone, and now it's this electronic system.
Yeah.
Which meant 300, they got rid of 300 Lions people, all right, who were on about £200 a day. But that was like the highlight of their year. I mean, I don't know if you ever watched Wimbledon, but they're usually a bit crinkly, a bit, you know, a bit older than normal. They're not really youngsters. They're people that love tennis, and that's what they really look forward to, probably once in the highlight of the year. But it's not just some guy on a computer. There's a command room with millions and millions of pounds worth of electronics in there, manned by 80 people.
So what's, I mean, to be honest, let's break this down, shall we, Mike? Because what I mean, obviously, this isn't the only job that these Lions people have. It's the charm, isn't it? Because you like to see people going, you know, because there was always a bit of back and forth, and it was always quite you know, amusing when some poor so and so got a ball to the back of the head when they weren't looking. But there was always that. It was part of the charm of Wimbledon. It's like having, you know, one of those, what do you call those robot cleaners? I mean, that'll be the ball boy. Have they still got ball boys? Or poor people.
At the moment, yeah. But, I mean, it's exactly what you said. It's the highlight of their year. You know, they get dressed up in Ralph Lauren clothes, so, which is one of the people that back it. And they go to Wimbledon and they stand there and they crouch and they put out or in or net or whatever they shout out.
Vault.
And that was, yeah, and then
Pims.
The grandkids see him on the television, or the kids see him on the television. It's just a little tradition, but now it's automated. But somewhere is a command post where it all goes on. And of course, last week it did go wrong one day, and they had to get back because they've got some reserves. They've got about 80 still there,
warming up on the bench.
Yeah, yeah. I think they've still got a few like laying around. open the store cupboard, pull out an old granny. The machine's broken down. And of course, Robinson is barley water. What happened to that? That was big.
Yeah, well, presumably that's...
I actually know what happened to that. They when it came up for a renewal one year, Robinson's, I think he's also owned by Pepsi Cola.
Right,
and they wanted to introduce other brands, and they wouldn't have it, so they didn't fall out, but they They said, we can't have, if we don't have a Pepsi Cola there, then we're not having Robinson's either. So now it's all down to Evian. Other water is available.
Other water. But that's part, I mean, it's part of the...
But not as good as Evian.
Yeah, exactly. but you see, this, you know, in a world, Michael, where everything is getting sort of bland and you only have to walk out your front door and say, oh, look, there's another development that could be in Marbella or Dubai or on the Bleeding Moon because it's been designed by a blind architect in a basement somewhere just off Vladivostok or something. Everything looks the same. And so, therefore, my gripe with this is if you get rid of things that make it charming, like, you know, there was that famous line calling judge who looked like Elton John, for example. Did you ever see that meme where she had the ginger crop and these big glasses, yeah? And she was vertically challenged. But she wasn't. She was quite a. Can we use the word dumpy? I think we can on this show. And she was a dead
salad dodger.
Yeah, she was a dead ringer for Elton John. You know, she really was.
Right.
You know, at this point, you know, without the sparkle.
But what I'm saying is, they were all part of. They were part of Wimbledon. It was part of Wimbledon. The Lions people are the part of Wimbledon, and now it's a machine. It's mechanical. Yeah, there's no one arguing. I loved a bit of a punch up on court. I mean, what about McEnroe? It's,
yeah.
You know, can you be serious? Well, not anymore. No, it's the machine. The computer says no.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, what happens if somebody hacks in? What happens if there's somebody from a developing nation with a great technical base, you know, and suddenly we've got these Chinese players who are just sailing through because obviously they've corrupted the AI. I mean, imagine that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. It's just something I noticed and I did a little bit of research on it. I didn't realise that there was 300 of them. I didn't realise that they were, I think there's 18 courts or something there.
Yeah.
But every court had like line judges. I always thought it was just like centre court. And, you know, I thought the rest of it was like playing a game of tennis on your own, get your own ball. And,
jumpers for goalposts, yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah. 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 Just, you know, and that was out, mate.
Yeah, do we have to? Can we serve underarm? The other thing is the fact that, but I mean, it's also because there are other. It's not just the singles. There's the mixed doubles, the doubles. Have you ever seen any of the wheelchair tennis? Have you ever seen that stuff? That's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, my mate Simon Hatt, who he calls me Moreno because my name's Brown, and his name I called him Sombrero. He did three Olympics for Team GB. Wheelchair, right? And
right.
And you, with wheelchair tennis, you can the ball's allowed to bounce twice.
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah,
yeah.
As a wheelchair user, I'm always trying to keep up with my
what are your options.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think I can't. No, my arms ache going round the corner, going around the tennis. But you have to have those special spaceship shaped wheelchairs. But it's very to watch it. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah.
It's not quite as fast as the men's singles.
But still.
But it's still watchable.
Do you just thinking what these 300 people could do, I've had a thought, Grumps. I've had a thought about maybe they could employ them at like Wimbledon Tube Station, doing the mind the gap bit. Or, you know, don't try and get off safety. You know,
they get £200 a day for it as well. So
there's the radio.
And
that's just for what you get on this show, Michael.
Yeah, that's why I don't come in anymore. It costs me more to come there.
Allegedly.
They get a nice little tickle, £200 a day.
Yeah.
And but now they're not getting it. But there's no financial saving in getting the electronics. It still works out the same. The carbon footprint is about the same. I've done my research in it.
Yeah.
It's just the future. It's the future. Everything's going to be electronic. Yep. There's nothing you can do about
it. Look at the thing we have with look at the continuous thing we have with VAR, Mike. I mean that's just
done.
There you go.
No, I don't even want junk. It's just ruined the game. It's ruined the game. Running golf. Yeah, but no, there's nothing you can say in the defence of it. You know, it's worked great for years, and some things have to stick to certain tradition. The referee, is the referee, right? They make mistakes; they're human. But that was all part of the sport.
Yeah,
that was part of the sport, and now it's not. And also the other thing, whilst we're talking about it, Why have we got women's football on every single night of the week?
Because there's a champion, there's the Euro tournament going on, Mike. So it's an, and now that women's football,
shove it on BBC Three. Don't take off EastEnders for Holland versus Czechoslovakia. And I need to know what's happening in EastEnders. There's more important things in the world. But the thing is, you try and make it in comparison to the men's sport, but the fact of the matter is it isn't. It's not as good. That's the end of it. It's not as good. And, I mean, that's proved, and it's proved that Arsenal women's, when they're playing at home, they'll get 30,000 supporters come along.
Right.
And when the men's playing, they get 60,000.
That's still an impressive.
That's hard.
Yeah, but it's still an impressive amount of. I mean, when you consider 10 years ago with women's football, you could literally hear you could literally hear them ordering the halftime bovril from the stands. So it has taken off, and it's, you know, it has gained an audience. I wish Anna Glawinski was doing this show, because you'd be absolutely, you'd be really. She'd have cut. She'd have gone.
No, I haven't even finished with. If she was here, I'd be onto my bike subject by now.
Yeah, fair enough.
The fact is, it's just not as good as men's football. It's just as simple. It's good football, but it's not as good as the men's. That's it.
He's not known as the International Man of Misery for nothing, you know. Right, then, let's move, let's swerve.
I'm talking about Anna.
Yeah?
Did you know they've just recently changed the law about cyclists, what cyclists can do in Spain?
No, I didn't.
I don't think you read my email that I sent you.
No, I just, because we had something, I've actually sent it to myself now, but I prefer to be surprised. So let me just click on the, because we're having a bit of a morning this morning. I got up this morning really happy and, well, it's a bit of a... women's football. Cyclists, eh? What? Can now... I've seen that.
Cyclists.
You've hidden that in the... I mean, that should be top and centre of my thing beneath, you know, okay.
Well, so. one of my joys of life is swearing at cyclists. Absolutely. And people in motorcycles. I mean, that's you know, it never ceases to amaze me how idiotic they can be on a bicycle. Like, there's a lorry double parked and they decide to come around the outside of it when they have got, they're now totally on the other side of the road.
Right.
And they're heading towards me and I have to brake because there's a cyclist coming in. We have some kind of crash helmet on, which will do nothing, right, except help scoop up his brains when I hit him in the car. And, you know,
And now,
I used to see them coming towards me down the one-way street, I could wave my fist and go, oh, it's one way.
A cheery wave to them. Hello.
Yeah, usually just using one finger, the one finger wave.
Wagging your index finger. Naughty cyclist.
Yeah, so have you ever considered, like, not going the wrong way? But now they can, legally. They can leave. There are certain rules which say, I mean, they've never acknowledged the rules anyway, but they can go down a one-way street now if it's, I think it's under 30 miles an hour or under. So that they can't go down the wrong way of the A7.
They can try, but yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
And it's, I think it's got to be two lane.
Listen, you can bring all the laws you want in for cyclists, but you know, like the electric scooters, they won't pay a darned bit of notice to them because they're the cyclists and they'll just go for it. I mean, when I used to live on East End, you know, with the Land Cruiser, I wanted to get a snow plow on the front, yeah, and then two massive lobster pots on the back so that I could scoop them. And then, you know, and have them all hang upside down in the lobster, and then just drop them off at the bottom of the Astana Road. Because it's the Tour de France at the moment. So that means that everybody who, you know, it's like when the World Cup's on, everybody gets a bank, has a kick about in the garden. Well, when the Tour de France is on, or the Giro de España, every Tom, Dick and Manuel, you know, decides that it's time to get on the bike. And here's another thing. Why do people come on holiday? Why do people come on holiday? Yeah.
and go to the hotels, yeah, and it'll say you can rent a bike, and even though they haven't rode a bike since they were 14, decided that it's going to be a great idea to go down the Paseo on one, even though they haven't ridden the bike since they were 14, and there are people like you and me trying to drive to work, and the whole of Los Belices is not a theme park for your cycle.
Because people do all sorts of things on holiday, don't they? They go in a donut and get whipped along by a motorboat pulled off. They do ridiculous things.
My insight is basically after Lance Armstrong, I used to normally sort of shout drug fiend at them as I pass them with a cheery wave. Or come up behind them and go, hop, 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 because that's what they like. Because, you know, you're like watching Wimbledon. I mean, whatever.
I love it.
Yeah, well, but people watch. I mean, I'm a Formula One freak, so people go, you're weird too. But watching the Tour de France.
I love Formula One too as well. Yeah. What's happened with. Why have they sacked him?
Right, they've sacked him because my theory is that Jos Verstappen, who is Verstappen's dad, has basically said that Max won't stay if Christian Horner's still there, and that's why. And Max has to make officially a decision whether he's going to go or stay at the next Grand Prix. And so,
and what's he going to go? And if he goes to Mercedes,
he might go to Mercedes. That would be, but the thing is, they're going to have to build the team around him, as always. So they're going to go, I think Aston Martin will be where he ends up because of Adrian Newey, and they will build a team around him, and they'll get rid of Alonso, and they'll keep the Lance Stroll, who's the owner's son there, and they can build the car around Alonso, around Verstappen. So that's what I
just thought. I just remembered something else about the tennis and snooker and some sports. You know this thing when you watch the tennis tour?
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. You know, I saw right.
Sometimes when after a rally's been going on, the ball just clips the net and it falls to the other thing, and they put their hand up.
Yeah.
And they, I'm sorry, right? And in snooker, sometimes the ball hits six cushions and then rolls in the pocket. I've got news for everybody. They're not sorry. Not at all. They're absolutely delighted. They couldn't give them monkeys. Right, it's the happiest. It's the happiest moment of the break or the sir, whatever. It's made their day. I promise you, that whole business about holding a hand up is a lot of codswallop. They are thinking to themselves, "Oh my God, that's shown him. That's going to put it, that's worth another 2 points because he'll be so angry." They are not sorry. Do not put your hand up. You're not sorry. You're delighted.
It's like if you kick a football and get somebody in it, or a rugby ball, you get somebody in the rather unfortunate part of their anatomy. Oh, sorry, mate. You know, that sort of thing happens.
Yeah, but it's the thing about, you know, truthfully, you really think someone's sorry, but who are they trying to appease? What they think that person knows they're not sorry, because when they do it, they're not sorry either.
It's sportsmanship in this age of whatever multi-million pound deals. It's just, I'm terribly sorry, old chap. That was unfortunate, and you know the rub of the green or whatever. Do they do that in darts, or do they just argue about their OBEs?
Oh, no, I don't even want to talk about that. That's ridiculous. No, they're not. Just remember, everybody, when you're watching sport, people put their hand up, say they're sorry. They're not. Not at all.
But, I mean, conversely, I mean, when you pull off, when you're not a good, I mean, I remember, you know, and I'm a rubbish pool player, but when you pull off that one shot and it goes in, just because of the law of averages, say that once in your lifetime, or you pull off an amazing hand in poker or something like that, and, you know, you just go,
but when I play poker, right, and someone does that, I have a saying for that.
Which is?
Even a blind squirrel will find the odd nut.
That's going to be my new poker avatar online.
Even a blind squirrel. Even a broken clock, right, twice a day.
With nail and eye. That is, we know.
Choose the same. I mean, it's just another one of those things which just isn't true, is it? People just don't care about it.
Now, meanwhile, you've got your ongoing thing with restaurants and bills and everything else. That is that still going on when you get down from the?
No, it's trying to get a bill in a restaurant site is ridiculous. Trying to get someone's attention, but also paying the bill. But there's a little party of you. It's how you, you know, there's always one or two that are a bit shy coming forward, to say the least. They like, I would disappear to the toilet or, you know, knowing that everybody, no, I'll get it. No, I'll get it. No, it's my turn. I'll get it. And they go, no, I don't care who get it, but I ain't getting it. That's the end of it. But it's, overall, bills in restaurants is, you should just get the bill, and if there's four of you, then you split 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, split it.
Yeah, I mean,
don't sit there calculating. Or if you're feeling generous, pay for it. And if, you know, then someone else will pay for it next time.
I suppose the thing is as well, if they're saying we're having a lunch and you say you could, you haven't got any cash, you say, look, I'd love to come, but, you know, I'm a bit, what's it at the moment? Can we skin if we
say, Brassic.
Brassic, yeah. I mean, I famously did that because I back in the day in London, I bumped into this beautiful girl and she was Italian, and I went to the loo. And when I came back, my mate had a word with her, and she was all over me. I said, "What on earth did you say to her?" And he said, "Oh, I told her that you were a test driver for the Ferrari GT program, yeah, the sports cars." And I couldn't not, because she was gorgeous. And so I said, "Can I take you for dinner tomorrow night?" And she said, "Yeah, I'd love to." And so there was a restaurant I used to go to, and I said to the owner, can I sort it? And he was like, yeah, no problem at all, but what's the story? So I told him the story, and this meal went on and on and on, and they got me the table, and people come up to me saying, you know, how's the test program going, and, you know, shame about your last race, Giles, and the whole thing. And she's just going completely google-eyed. And when I left the restaurant, because you had to go through the bar, everybody in the bar went meow as I walked out.
Yeah, I think you get nicked for that these days. There's so many things wrong there.
Well, she would have googled me, I've gone to the bathroom. She'd have googled me, and I would have come up as Giles Brown, not the Ferrari test driver.
Yeah. What about the door at the Lords, House of Lords? Did you see anything about that? It's written about. I just. It makes me crazy with rage. The amount of money that is wasted in the UK on the most ridiculous things. There's a door at the House of Lords needed replacing. How much for a door at the House of Lords?
Is it plywood? Is it like one of those IKEA things?
Don't get too involved in it. Just have a wild guess.
500 quid.
How about 9.6 million?
Hey, what's it made out of? Mithril?
Gold. I don't know. It's a door. I mean, Google it. Maybe I got it wrong.
We've got 30. Believe it or not, we've got 30 seconds, Michael. We've run out. We're running out of time.
So
go on. House of Lords.
Because it doesn't work. And they've fixed it. They've got this £9.6 million door there, and they've fixed it. In it doesn't work properly, and they've got to pay someone £2,000 a week to open it.
Good grief, and it's not wheelchair friendly either. So that's that.
Have you got it up? Yeah, you've got to see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at front door, and it doesn't work, and it's disabled. It doesn't
9 point.
Multi security upgrade still not accessible for disabled peers, and requires a permanent member of staff on site. Michael, I'm going to run out of time. Can you believe it? Are you still wittering online? Where can people find you still on
X? Yeah, X, and I've got a YouTube channel, which is just Mike Senker. Some rubbish on there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining me.
And you've put me on some Instagram thing.
No, I haven't done that. That's the new. I don't do that anymore. That's the new girl. She's put you on Instagram. So don't you come singing to me. Have a word with the lovely Nikki, because that's her thing. The only thing they let me near is the coffee machine these days. Mike, see you two next time. Sure. Have a lovely weekend.
God bless.